Chapter 28. Tremors. Battle Barge Charybdis, Cargo Decks. A tremor rippled down the length of the ship. The lurching deck threw Zitos hard against the wall, but he kept his footing. Others, mortals, in the corridor ahead of him fell. Some were injured. He saw a woman badly gash her forehead. She had been ushering a young girl to their quarters when the tremor hit. She looked like one of the refugees.
"Are you all right?"
Zitos asked, helping the woman to her feet.
"Just a cut, I'll be fine," she replied, frowning.
She smiled, grateful.
"Thank you for saving us. We all thought we'd die in that place. Ever since the war..."
There was loss in her eyes. Zitos recognized that self-same look in his own face.
"None of us have met space marines like you before."
"I'll take that as a compliment."
Zitos knelt down to speak to the girl, who was cowering and hugging the woman's leg.
"And you? Are you injured, child?"
She slowly shook her head, eyes wide with awe and fear at the onyx-skinned warrior. The lights across the corridor flared, flickered, and then dulled. Zitos's eyes looked bright as burning coals in the sudden gloom.
"Find some quarters and stay inside, understand?"
he told them, rising to his feet.
"No harm will befall you whilst there are sons of Vulcan on this ship, but it's not safe to be wandering around."
The woman appeared to take heart in that, though the little girl gave a last fearful glance before burying her face in the woman's leg.
"She's your daughter?" asked Zitos.
"No, I don't know her," replied the woman. "She latched onto me when we arrived. Didn't seem right to leave her."
"I see," said Zitos, for want of something better.
"Brother?"
Varkir's voice brought Zitos's attention to the chaplain, who now stood in the corridor before him, watching the refugees disappear into their quarters.
"I have no idea what we are supposed to do with them," Varkir admitted.
"What happened?" asked Zitos.
Varkir suddenly looked grim.
"We dropped back out of warp."
"Already?"
Varkir nodded.
"The storm repelled our navigator."
"Wasn't Ushaman supposed to shore her up and prevent that?"
"He couldn't. The tumult was too strong.
Another tremor shook the Charybdis. Struts groaned and flexed in protest, and the heavy boom of psychic aftershocks struck the side of the ship like gargantuan breakers.
Zitos frowned. "Is she taking us back in?"
"I don't..."
The lights down the corridor flared again, so intense and magnesium bright that Zitos had to shield his eyes. A loud drone presaged every lumen fizzing out, and the ship was plunged into sudden darkness. The resonance of engine shutdown carried through the skin of the ship, echoing loudly. The perpetual hum of onboard systems died, replaced by silence. Atmosphere, recyclers, illumination, life support, everything failed. Several seconds passed in tomb-like silence before the dull machine shunt of emergency systems kicked in, washing the corridor in a crimson glow. Air filtration returned, but at fractional strength. Zitos was already on the vox to Zon.
"We briefly lost power, Sergeant," came the Tech Marine's reply, without need of prompting.
"It has yet to return in this part of the ship, Tech Marine. What happened?"
"Damage sustained coming out of warp prematurely. It has knocked some of our essential systems offline. I am working to rectify it."
"What parts of the ship have been affected, brother?"
"All of them. We have minimal life support. Our engines are at motive power only. All weapon systems, augurs, and void shields are also down. Bridge, Novatum, Sensorium, Apothecarium, Barracks, Interrogation, even the galley are all..."
Varkir interjected.
"Interrogation?"
"Affirmative, Chaplain. All bulkheads and access doors are powered down."
"Damn it."
Caspian Hecht had braced his hands across the table, palms down, and was waiting for his jailers to return when the sense of dislocation struck him. A mental impulse sent tremors through his psyche, strong enough to make him stagger. His hands turned into claws, gripping the table in order to stay upright as he was nearly thrown from his seat.
"Throne of terror,"
he muttered, awash with feverish sweat. His respiratory rate escalated suddenly as a burning itch flared across nerve endings. He clutched at his face as if trying to keep the flesh from tearing apart and considered the fact he might be under some sort of psychic attack. Lord Malkador had warned of the perils of his mission, of the attention it would draw. Those within the Knights Errant were often alone, and with Hecht's intended partner missing and probably dead, it meant reinforcement was not going to be forthcoming. Another seizure gripped him, forcing Hecht's body into spasm and igniting hundreds of tiny misfires across his synapses. His enhanced biology did its best to compensate, flooding his system with chemicals, thundering his secondary heart into action to expedite a palliative reaction. Hecht slipped and kicked the chair out from under him. He would have fallen had he not seized the edge of the table, gripping it firmly and sending small cracks webbing across its surface. In the flickering light above, hitting the table's reflective veneer, he caught sight of his face and recoiled. Backing away, Hecht reached for a weapon he no longer carried. His fingers trembled as he fought for control. Then it stopped, and he knew. Calmly, assertively, he stood up. As he approached the table again, he still did not recognize the face staring back at him, but now he knew why. His gaze went to the door. A crimson symbol lit up on the locking mechanism indicated his passage was barred. Then the lights flickered again before cutting out. So did the crimson symbol. The low metallic thunk of deadbolts disengaging followed. Divine providence? Hecht thought not as he made for the door. Zitos swore under his breath.
Does anything still function, Zon?
Low range sensorium and astronavigation. We are outside of the new Imperium, somewhere in the Caradon sector. I have also detected an inbound vessel.
What?
Zitos felt his blood run cold as he exchanged a worried glance with Varkir.
It is the Necrotor, Brother Sergeant. Somehow they have found us.
How soon can we get shields and weapon systems up and running again?
Not soon enough. Judging on its approach vector, the Necrotor has its engines on full burn.
Is it powering up lances? Any torpedoes in the void?
Zitos knew the Charybdis was a much larger ship than the light cruiser currently bearing down on them, but he also suspected the Death Guard vessel was an outrider for a bigger fleet. Besides, superiority of size and weapons meant nothing if you could not unleash them.
Negative. They are closing with us. My tactical analysis is that they mean to board us. I expect the imminent departure of launch boats and docking torpedoes.
The same thought had struck Zitos too. Varkir was already on the vox, warning of the imminent assault.
How long? Zon told him. Hellfire!
Zitos severed the link. Varkir met his gaze.
What about Hecht? We can't have him running free whilst all this is going on. How many aboard that cruiser, do you think? Could be 100 legionaries, maybe more.
Zitos shook his head ruefully. The Charybdis was a massively powerful ship, but it was woefully undermanned.
Muster the pyre! Do it now, brother! I'll find Hecht.
And Numeon?
He heard the order, said Zitos. He'll either stay where he is, or he'll answer the call. Either they know who we carry and are coming here to make sure he's dead, or they're opportunists looking for a hefty scalp. It doesn't matter, either way.
Valkyr nodded, donning his helmet.
It will be done.
As he was about to leave, Zetos gripped his forearm.
I know this is not your role, chaplain. I know you aren't my equerry.
Valkyr clapped Zetos on the shoulder, brother to brother.
All of us are what we need to be on this journey. Into the fires, brother, he said.
Zetos let him go.
Let's hope we don't burn in them.
Inside the sanctum, the lights flared once and then died. Numeon was kneeling in silence and looked up at the sudden interruption. He then stifled an irrational surge of panic when he heard the bioscanner bleep once, then fail too. It was not life-sustaining, he reminded himself. It monitored only. Still, the psychological blow of seeing it dead and inert rather than registering the faintest spike of biological or neurological activity had Numeon's heart racing for a moment. He pushed himself up, back onto his feet. His knuckles were raw and bruised, his face the same. It was reflected in the glass of Vulcan's funerary casket. Drawn, haunted, he looked more of a corpse than his father did. He was also bleeding, his lips split and his right eye swollen. These were wounds earned in shame, not battle. The sigil was laid in front of him, like an offering. Numeon realized there were flecks of blood on the hammer's head. Salamander blood. His, Zetos's, did it matter? Numeon tried not to imagine accusation and judgment in Vulcan's face. Had he been awake to bear witness to two of his most trusted sons beating all hell out of one another, his reprimand would have been severe. Denial, anger, his grief had taken him on a dark journey. He needed to emerge now. He had to take up the mantle to lead these desperate warriors. Salamanders did not raise fists or weapons against one another in anger. Vulcan had made them better than that. He had taught them the value of life and brotherhood. He had spared them from destruction.
How easy it has become to forget your lessons, father, Numeon said in a quiet voice, when you are no longer here to remind us.
He wiped away the blood from the hammer's head. Above, he heard the atmosphere recyclers slowly powering down. In a few more seconds, their drone had faded completely until there was only abject silence and the dull humming activation of the ship's emergency systems. Something had happened during warp translation. They were still in real space. Without power, they were also vulnerable. His place was on the bridge, not here by his father's side. Not yet. Numeon held the sigil tight and brought it close to his face.
I promise you, father, he whispered, we will see Nocturne again and revive your body in the earth. But I have abandoned my brothers and must make amends. I see that now. I see the path I must take. But please, he said, weeping, give me some small sign. Show me there is life yet in the Lord of Drakes.
Looking down upon the recumbent form of the Primarch, Numeon only saw the quiet sleep of the dead. But despite the many months since his demise, Vulcan had not decayed or putrefied. His flesh remained inured to entropy, eternal. It was faint hope, but they had left Macragge with little more than that. Before he left the sanctum, Numeon uttered four solemn words that he hoped would resonate.
Unto the anvil, father.